I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The COB is brought to you by Pepperstone, trusted by traders in over 160 countries. From Barangaroo Studios, here's what you need to know about the day in business and finance.
Well, hello, hello. Wonderful to be here with you. I'm Nadine Blaney.
I'm Juliette Solly.
Hi. It's nice to be here with you as well. I was going, getting all excited there. Hard to believe it's a Thursday afternoon already.
I
feel like this week has gone by really, really quickly. And yeah, it's pretty positive, all things considered. Now that we have the FOMC under our belts, and I guess not as hawkish as some in the market had expected.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we were expecting a bit of a ho-hum day, but our market sort of started to see some green shoots, I guess, around lunchtime. The bank certainly looking quite good there today, helping out the overall sentiment. And as you can see, a gain of about 0.2% on the CBOE. Similarly, on the ASX 200, holding around that 7,600 point level. So all in all, as you say, not a bad day.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll get to some of the details about that. What move the market in just a moment. But with stocks in Asia looking fairly positive, I think it's worthwhile to still consider, and I guess for Aussie investors, equity investors, you know, we don't pay a lot of attention to the yen, but it's definitely one of our key themes today because we're just seeing such bumpy action. David Scott from City Index was here today through the 11 o'clock hour as a guest host. So, you know, there's plenty of analysis up on our website, whether or not this is Bank of Japan intervention, what does it mean? Yeah, you can find that online at ausbiz.com.au.
And I guess where the line in the sand is too, because it used to be sort of that 150 level, well, when I say used to, in the short-term history of the yen, and now it looks like that 160 is very much when it gets towards that or uncomfortably towards that with the US dollar. It does look like there is a little bit of market intervention at play, but certainly that 34-year low for dollar-yen, yen against the dollar, I guess, is something that has been very much on many traders' minds.
Yeah, Nick Twidell joined us, and that's up online on the trade as well. Just a chat between him and Scotty, interestingly, about the time in which we're seeing these big moves, you know, right at the Asian Open, right, you know, I think this today's big move came right after New Zealand's market had opened. So interesting stuff online about that, but a lot of content as well. Just comes to mind, Paul Brennan, the chief economist of Suncorp. He is telling us what the Fed as a read-through is for the RBA, because we've got the meeting next week.
We do indeed. And what a turnaround from when we last had the RBA meeting, and they really sort of moved away from that thought of further hikes and suggested cuts. And now it could be a complete turnaround again with so many, including Rabobank, who I spoke today, now suggesting two hikes
this
year.
That's right. Yeah. Oh boy. Okay. That's up online as well. And then, yeah, a bit of a relief rally, I guess you could call it today, although there were plenty of stock specifics that we'll get to in just a moment. Some really big moves. Bapcor
comes to mind to me too. But let's have a look at the tech players. Xero, there was a broker note out on Xero, which we've been covering fairly unchanged there. Block probably should be in that check too, given the big move that you saw in Block, I think down something like around 6%. And this is all, of course, on this concern of some further regulatory action potentially in the US.
NAB was out today. It's in the news, but it helped lift all boats, so to speak. And don't forget, we're looking forward to hearing from Macquarie tomorrow. So shares in Macquarie up by 1.4%. But if you're looking for, you know, an underperforming sector, consumer staples, but also the energy plays, we saw really dramatic moves coming through in oil through the overnight period. And again, I had a pretty good chat with Scotty about that one. I might put that up online as well, just his take on the moves that we've seen in oil. But you've got to think the central banks would be breathing a sigh of relief if we continue to see the price of oil reach for greeting.
Yep. And having a look at stock specific news, NAB's result looking a little bit better than expected. It's really this $1.5 billion buyback, though, that got the market a bit excited.
Yeah, even though we're seeing provisions rise. So the devil sometimes is in the detail. Yeah, Woolworths, I suppose, still dealing with the fallout from some pretty poor publicity in regards to its outgoing CEO, Brad Banducci, but also just, you know, how these supermarkets are really, you know, being targeted by politicians. So they're very reticent, I think, to put out any really good numbers. But its quarterly sales did lift 2.8% to $16.8 million, saying that average food prices are largely flat. Of course, they don't want to be seen to be the baddies.
No.
But really underperformed what we saw from Coles.
Which is about a 5% gain, right? Yeah, Babcock, we talked about, the poster child for bad news today. The worst performer on the ASX 200, downgrading its profit guidance and blaming consumers' reluctance to spend on their cars as living costs rise. You got a new battery recently.
I've done a lot on my car recently. Very upset because you get forced into a corner, right? But that's the interesting thing, because we've talked about Babcock many times in the past, that when pockets are tight, maybe people have to, like me, fix their car instead of get a new one. But clearly not. There's that story about Block you were just mentioning.
Yeah, thankfully. Yeah, sorry. I didn't realize that was coming up. Reports in the US here that federal prosecutors are ramping up their investigation into the business. Allegations that Block processed multiple cryptocurrency transactions for terrorist groups and failed to properly identify Square and Cash App customers. And it comes through with numbers tomorrow as well.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be interesting. Rio Tinto held its AGM today. Says the usual, you know, very powerful drivers of long-term demand. It's core markets growing, it says. And of course, copper. I understand that it was put to Rio CEO, you know,
about
would they go
the
for Anglo?
Yeah.
But it is saying that it will increase production at its Oyu Tolgu underground copper mine. Because, copper really is the go, isn't it?
It is. All right. The stock of the day was NAB. Kevin Robinson from Team Invest and Daniel Ortizzi from Stock Doctor shared their take with Andrew.
I would say on the balance of things, if you're looking to outperform the market, I'd probably be reducing banking exposure heavily. But we have had a preference for NAB against its peers in our income portfolio, that's for sure.
So if you have the stock, well, you'd hold it?
Yeah, we're happy to hold, preferably for, you know, looking for that income. But if you're thinking about outperforming the market, Andrew, I wouldn't be holding this stock.
NAB is probably better placed than others for the reasons Daniel outlines, in that it's got a greater part of its business in business banking rather than the more competitive these days mortgage market, which is probably good for NAB. But if you look at NAB compared to, say, Westpac and CBA, if you look at their return on equity, both of the other two have higher returns on equity, and their earnings per share growth is very similar in profile, in that they're not essentially going up. They sort of go up and down and stay stable. So that's the reasons we wouldn't sort of look at these banks.
Welcome to the COB, Henry Jennings from Marcus today for his take on market action. I mean, a better day than perhaps we were expecting, Henry, as we digested the Fed. What was on your radar? Have you been fixing your car when we look at that big Babcock fall?
I've got old cars, Juliet, so I'm forever fixing cars. In fact, my oldest car is in the garage at the moment. So just waiting for that phone call from the mechanic to say that it's going to cost X amount of dollars. So yes,
thousands, I can guarantee you.
Well, it's only an old Subaru, Nadine, so it's not quite as bad as some that I have in the stable. So, well, I've got four. I've got two kids, and they seem to borrow the other two. So anyway, be that as it may, I was expecting it to be a relatively good day. So it's done what it's supposed to do, really, I guess. Mm. The US was pretty good last night. What we heard from Jerome Powell was pretty much, you know, any which way you cut it, the Fed keeps saying the same thing. It is data dependent. And at the moment, the data says that it doesn't need a rate cut. So why would they cut rates? The good news was that they said they wouldn't probably raise rates, which did raise its ugly head. So that is a positive. So, you know, magically, we're closing very close to 7,600. So once again, we've fallen below it and bounced back to it. I guess the question is what happens tomorrow with the ASX 200. But certainly, you know, the banks were the bedrock today. The NAB buyback certainly helps, another $1.5 billion in buybacks. But also the banks, once again, have made themselves a small target. That is the key at the moment. And that's certainly something that Woolies tried to do, but they got a little bit of a target pinned on their back in terms of downside. But the banks really want to make themselves a small target so they don't invoke the ire of the government or any kind of inquiries or any kind of accusations of price gouging. And one of the great mechanisms they have, of course, is they can put money into provisions, those nice big stuffed hollow logs, which mean that when times do get too bad, they can bring those provisions out and smooth over the results. So banking generally is a massively profitable business in Australia. It remains to be a massively profitable business in Australia. If you're underweight the banks, you are going to suffer at the end of the day in terms of ASX market performance, because they're just such a big part of our market. You know, they make $32 billion between the four of them and pay extraordinarily high dividends to shareholders. They're fully franked. Why would you not want to be long the banks? It's very hard for retail investors to want to sell the banks, you know, unless something colossally bad happens. So, you know, they will follow the market today. They're better. The NAB result was better than, I guess, expected in some respects. Macquarie tomorrow, which is going to be interesting. I've had my doubts on Macquarie. I had it as a sell on the investment committee at $200. It's come back. I think for Macquarie, we're looking, hoping, I guess, that we don't see another underwhelming performance from the bank. We've had two in a row. We don't really want three in a row. But for me, the interesting thing will be is if they make some commentary on AirTrunk, because that is a business that's attracted a lot of attention, data center businesses, and very, very valuable. And Macquarie has a massive stake in that one. So that is going to be interesting if they comment on that. But generally, you know, the market, gold, banks, doing okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned consumer staples in the wake of that Woolworths result. Not. But back to Macquarie. So if we do see, you know, a little bit of an underwhelming result, I think it's difficult to say disappointing in terms of Macquarie and the billions that it does make. Also, it has a history of sort of under-promising, over-delivering. Yeah. But if we did see any selling in Macquarie, I mean, does that seem like an obvious buy to you?
It depends how much selling there is, Nadine. I think we're in a sort of stuck in a bit of a channel with Macquarie, probably $175, $180 to $200 is the trading range. I was surprised the market took it so well when Nico Kane left. He was the rainmaker from the commodities division. And, you know, everyone's talked about this big pickup in IPOs and deals. The problem is, certainly in Australia, I don't know if it's true for the rest of the world, but in Australia, there's a lot more competition for these deals. You know, Barrenjoey is on the card a lot of the time, UBS a lot of the time. Macquarie's well down the dance card these days in terms of M&A activity, in terms of market share in lots of ways. And that is probably going to be the case in US and Europe as well. So, you know, there has been a lot riding on the commodities division. And I think that is still the case. I wouldn't be surprised if we see another relatively ho-hum kind of result. Maybe Shemara will talk things up for the medium term, as maybe is required. But AirTrunk will be interesting for me, I think. So 175 to 200 at 188, they're probably stuck in the middle here for the time being. If they blip higher, I think you know you take profits at $200 and you start buying them probably below 180, down to 175 to 180.
Henry, we've spoken before about how you're saying there's not going to be many big Aussie conglomerates back. I'm just curious of your thoughts about this takeover battle for Nemoy Cotton, which is not a huge conglomerate. It's not a CSL or a CSR, but Singapore talking up its commitment here. You know, what are we seeing in terms of some of this globalization, I guess, or big companies coming in and swooping in on the Aussie companies?
Well, I guess, you know, the Aussie dollar is so cheap at 65 cents. That it's very tempting for these overseas companies to come here. We're losing companies by the handful, you know, every week in some respects. Louis Dreyfus is the competing French group that's looking to buy this one. They have been gazumped by Olam Group, which is offering 66 cents, which could rise to 70 cents. So, you know, the gauntlet has well and truly been thrown down again to see whether the French come back with a counter bid. The market certainly seems to think so because it's trading above that bid price. But it just goes to show, you know, you look across the market, you've got CSR disappearing, Adbri, you've got Boral, you've got Altium, Namoy Copper, Cotton, and there's a whole bunch of them that really are falling away. Link Administration was delisted yesterday. So, you know, we are losing companies, and private equity has become such a massive, massive part of the market. That, you know, we're in danger of shrinking to, I was going to say greatness, but it's not greatness, shrinking to irrelevance.
Oblivion.
In some respect.
Yeah.
Oblivion. Yeah, you know, it is oblivion to some extent. So, you know, we're going to end up with BHP and three and four banks.
Yeah, well, let's hope not, you know, for all of us and our futures. But Henry, given all that, you know, we know that there's a lot of M&A activity in the small end of the market, but I've had so many conversations about the opportunities that are there, you know, across even major sectors in the small cap space, you know, industrials and tech and the like. Are you being spoiled for choice right now?
I think I am being spoiled for choice. Unfortunately, the catalysts for that, everyone's talking about, it's a bit like the copper story. Everyone's talking about how wonderful copper was and the outlook was fantastic, and the copper price did absolutely nothing for months and months and months, and everyone was scratching their head wondering why, and then suddenly it took off. I think the small caps are a bit like that. There are lots of opportunities. I went to a lunch today with one investor relations company, Jane Morgan, put on, which was fantastic. A lot of biotech companies there presenting. There was a couple of tech stocks as well, which were pretty interesting. So a lot of these opportunities look pretty good, I have to say, but it just requires a catalyst, I guess, at the moment, like we saw with copper. And I'm not sure what that catalyst is. Market confidence is always a big catalyst. But, you know, retail investors have now been kind of so pre-programmed to just, I will buy an ETF. Okay, I am sorted. Thank you very much. You know, it's you know, we're losing the stock pickers, and unfortunately, it's hard to attract attention. So, you know, in the water, waving away, shouting shark, shark, or look at me, is great. But if the lifeguards are looking the other way, then it really doesn't matter.
All right. Henry, thank you. As always, Henry Jennings from Marcus Today.
I was just waving.
Oh, okay. I thought that fly was back. let's have a look at the market leaders of the day.
PEXA.
What
yeah, PEXA, there was an update on its partnership with a UK entity. And right out of the gates this morning, that really sent its share price higher. Sorry, I can't remember the exact details of what that partnership involves. But yeah, it's been looking solid all day. Let me get it up. Yeah, that remortgaging partnership, that's right, with NatWest Bank in the UK. Cube Holdings also looking really good. That was a broker upgrade.
That was a broker upgrade, yeah.
Yeah.
Bega looking good. Amcor was up almost 5%, and West African Resources as well. Looking at some of the losers today, well, we touched on Bapcor and Block and Woolworths.
And you know what just didn't make the list there was Bank of Queensland, but it was trading ex-dividend today. Small end of the market, we've got some big moves with Namoy. Is that
Namoy,
how you say it?
Yeah.
Namoy Cotton, yeah, with M&A private equity on the table there. Clearview Technologies. It's actually been a lot of news flow coming from that company, and it's up by 7%. There was an announcement yesterday if you wanted to go have a look. And on the flip side of that, we've got Hello World. It came out with a trading update that did disappoint. I wonder if that's what's flowing on to Experience Co. as well in that travel and tourism space here locally.
And fun fact about Namoy, and I only found this out when I came back from Australia, because I thought there's a few people actually called Namoy, and I always thought that like they were Naomi and people couldn't spell. It's a town, it's an Aboriginal word. It's near Gunnedah and Narrabri as well on the Namoy River. So that is the reason behind where they farm for that caution.
Yeah, Jeff Wilson was on Twitter. You know, he's on the X and is quite prolific, and he was just giving props to the group that really has nailed that one. I think the name
Olam
sort of escapes me. No, it's actually the asset manager, the boutique asset manager that really supported it, because there's lots of people on X sort of saying, oh, I missed this one. Do you know, that would have been a great play.
All right, what is happening overnight? EU PMIs, unemployment claims in the US, the trade balance as well, and factory order data. And then, of course, tomorrow, We have...
Well, we've got Macquarie, as we just said. We've got Block. We've got a couple of AGMs happening. Computershare is one of them. And we have housing finance as well. Interesting, just reading Westpac's note on the data tonight, just saying that factory orders are expected to weak because we did have a pretty lackluster, I should say, durable goods order print coming through. And jobless claims are expected to remain pretty low for now. But in one of my conversations with Scuddy today, I actually put it up online and tweeted it, or whatever you call it, his view on what's important in the jobless data that comes tomorrow, you know, the non-farm payrolls, because he reckons that Jay Powell gave it away in one of his final comments, just how important, you know, the dynamics within the labor market are for, you know, what happens next.
You know what else is tomorrow at 3:30 is the last call here. So don't forget that. We've got some great guests. We've got a macro panel with Adam Dawes from Shore and Partners. We've also got Mark Gardner from MPC Markets.
We've got Scuddy.
We've got Scuddy. I was like, who is the third one? Of course, it's Scuddy. We're very excited to have him in town. And then also Eliza from CoreLogic, who I was speaking to earlier. She's going to be on the broader macro panel along with our good friend Clifford Bennett. So a lot of big names coming through. It'll be very fun. Join us from 3:30. But just before we go, we'll let you know where the market has finished the day's trade. Henry thought it was going to be a good day. He must know better than the SPY, which was suggesting a ho-hum day. But we're up 0.2% on the close. Similarly, on the ASX 200, didn't quite make that 7,600 point level. We're at 7,587.
Yeah, we've got US futures looking quite positive right now. We've got a whole heap of earnings. We talk a lot about US earnings, but a lot of European earnings coming through, and that includes Novo Nordisk. So doing pretty well. Shell is out. Shell has beat expectation with a $7.7 billion first quarter profit. Nice. And there's a whole, Maersk is also out, lifting the lower end of its full year guidance range. So we'll be digesting some of that tomorrow morning.
All right. We'll see you from 9:40 Eastern.
See you then.
The COB is brought to you by Pepperstone, trusted by traders in over 160 countries.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.